on 1116 SEN, the ultimate rap with Tony Shebeki.
Yes, coming up 8 minutes after nine, and good morning to you. I'm George Tanuki, and I am standing in for one Tony Shebeki. And on that subject, there are two reasons why he can't be with us. One, you'll find out in just a moment when we speak to Brett Anderson. Richmond did lose last night. And two, we did have some technical difficulties, so I want to apologise for those things. We've managed to make some on-the-road adjustments. Everything promises to run fluently and brilliantly between now and the rest of the day. And to help me over that next hour, I'm going to call up a long-time friend of mine. He also happens to be a man of mystery, better known as Troy Zantac. G'day, mate.
Very good morning to you. Good morning, George.
I love it when I throw you off.
Yeah, sorry for those technical difficulties, but fingers crossed the next hour should go smoothly. And, wow, what a round of football. Round 15. Did it throw up a few surprises?
Well, it did. And what we always do on a Sunday morning for the ultimate wrap, we go to the SEN AFL insider, Brett Anderson, who will join us in just a moment. But I've just got to run it past you again. Should all Richmond fans go out and get a coffee at this stage? Take the app with you, but I think you should go and have a coffee.
Yes.
You may not want to hear what's going to come up next.
Wow, it was just an incredible night of football, George.
Well, the weekend round started with a real bang from the Adelaide Oval on Friday.
Yeah.
Should we ask Brett to join us?
I think we should.
Mr. Anderson?
Hello, George.
You've prepared for this, haven't you?
Shebeks has done what Richmond did last night. He hasn't shown up.
Correct. Brilliantly said. And I am. We're off and running, mate. Go on. Tell us what happened. That first half, we're still under. Actually, before we go to Richmond, let's start with Friday.
Okay.
And the big question for Troy has for you.
Is it all over? The defence of the Premiership BA for the Dogs?
I think I said last Sunday they would go on the Dogs, and Friday night probably just backed that up perfectly, because they're just not quite the side that they were, boys. They haven't improved at all. In fact, some of their players have regressed in some ways. But you know what? And Gary Lyon said this a little bit. When the belly's full and you've had that feed and that's the premiership that you've been, striving for so long, the hunger can drop a little bit. I think it's only human nature. But for the Bulldogs supporters out there, the best thing that they get to do is they get to watch a Premiership DVD, or they get to have those memories for the rest of their life. And that'll last them for quite a while to come. So, look, whilst they don't look anything like what they were last year, they still do get to think about what happened in late September last year. But Adelaide looked pretty good, didn't they, again on Friday night? And that was something that they've been building back towards for a while. Their form hasn't been sensational in recent weeks, but They were pretty impressive.
I thought the two key forwards, Taylor Walker and Josh Jenkins, they really took the game by the scruff of the neck. And I tell you what, when you talk about valuable commodities, Jake Lever, Exhibit A.
Absolutely. When you look at the two forwards too, Zanis, when you think about it, no Tom Lynch has meant that Josh Jenkins and Taylor Walker have had to stand up a little bit more in the last 2 weeks. They have, which has been good, because Lynch is so important to that forward line.
Yeah.
And without him, they've really needed those two boys to really come to the fore, and they have, which has been great. At the other end, Lever's a star, a genuine star, and he's probably adding a couple of extra zeros to any potential contract down the line with his form this year. So it's going to be an interesting one, though, to see what he does do, because I think a week ago, the Crows were pretty confident that that he would stay, and that was all the information that I was getting. But in the last sort of couple of days, it seems like it may have swung a little bit, and there might be more of a feeling that he might head back to Victoria.
Just on the Dogs, Brett, what has been the story for this year? I think they won the first four out of their first five games, and from there on, it's just fallen apart.
It has, and I think if we think back to last year, everyone points at the fact they finished seventh. Well, yeah, they finished seventh, but they did win 15 games. So
yes,
that was enough to basically get them in the top four in any other year. And I think they missed the top four in percentage, or maybe by a game. It was one of those remarkable years. But they did win a lot of close games, and that's the thing that you got to look at as well. Is they had that great nose to the finish line. They've had that a little bit at the start of this year, but then it's really fallen away, I think, in terms of... I think we look at selection each week, Xanders, and I've done this with Finey on league teams on Thursday nights. We sit there and there's four and five changes every week. So they've had no continuity in terms of being able to get the team that they want out there, and whether that's due to form or due to injury, and that has played a part in some ways, but they had injuries last year as well. They just haven't been able to get any continuity from week to week, and I think that's a real challenge, especially in what's a really close competition. I think Collingwood's seeing that as well, just that shared experience and that continuity from week to week, and building, I guess, a patch of a month's form where you've got pretty much the same best 22, maybe with one or two changes. I think that's really important, where the Dogs at the moment, you'll go to selection again this week and there'll be four or five changes, whether it be forced or unforced.
And just on structure, a major loss that I've considered this year is the loss of Joel Hambling to Fremantle.
Yeah, well, I guess he's one of the more unlikely premiership players of all time. And when you sit there and think about it, they won a flag with Joel Hambling and Fletcher Roberts as their two key defenders, Zane Cordy playing centre-half forward, and then Tom Boyd playing a bit in the forward and the ruck, and that was basically it. It's one of the more remarkable efforts from a coach and a team in recent times. So the loss of him has hurt, but again, Marcus Adams was injured last year and he's sort of come back and played a bit of footy this year. But yeah, it just something isn't quite right down there. And I guess the hard thing for Luke Beveridge is that he's probably struggling to put his finger on it as well.
Brett, we've got to get to it, mate. All the Richmond people have just gone out to get a coffee. Should we talk about them? Or should we go and touch on that magnificent draw? Can you believe the Giants, 2 weeks in a row, trying to channel the Carlton team, the great Carlton team of the past? With
1921, the last.
Very good year, 1921, mate.
We'll go with the draw, boys. That one very quickly.
Oh, my goodness.
What'd
you make of it? Did you see it coming?
I probably didn't, because I thought GWS with all their injuries would still find a way to win, because I thought Hawthorn, the loss of Birchall for me with Hawthorn really has a big impact. And then when they're two or three goals up late in that last quarter, to then sort of fold and concede ground, and Luke Bruce had a couple of late shots that got them back into the game, and then obviously the Langford goal, which was just a pure fluke that the bounce was over Heath Shaw's head. And then the centre bounce, they nearly lost it. They were a second away from losing at GWS. So that would have been a remarkable last 4 or 5 minutes. But for Hawthorn, I think that's the positive that we've got to take out of Hawthorn's response after such a poor start to the season. And the fact that they've done it now with quite a few senior players out, we're looking at their injury list. There's no Josh Gibson. There's no James Frawley. We know that Birchall's been out of the side as well. And there's a host of other senior players who aren't playing or aren't in the side. Cyril Rioli's out. I think it's a fantastic effort from Hawthorn.
Yeah, you've got to say it's impressive stuff. Impressive.
They're doing it with kids who haven't been high draft picks, who, look, I've had real questions about in the past, having watched them at Box Hill and watched them come through the under-18 system. Aside from Ryan Burton and that, who we always thought were going to be good players, but their ability to turn what might be seen as mediocre players into very good contributors. And the fact that he's been able to move players like Blake Hardwick from what was a forward as a junior to a really nice role across halfback and have some success there. And James Sicily's gone back as well. It's a real tick for Kaiko again. If he doesn't need any more ticks on his coaching CV, this is just another one. And I thought they've been fantastic. And you know what? The dream's still alive for them that they could play finals this year. It's remarkable.
Another case of leather poisoning for Tom Mitchell. Certainly earning his paycheck, Brett. 30 disposals or more in a match, 12 times in a row, which is an AFL record. So he's been an outstanding recruit.
35, I think, to three-quarter time yesterday, Zanners. He only had the four in the last quarter. So he did drop off a little bit when GWS did make their run after trailing at three-quarter time. But he just keeps finding the footy. And the good thing about Tom now is he's really starting to kick goals. It's something that I think that that all the good midfielders, the very top midfielders, have in their game, and he's starting to add that, which is great for Hawthorn. And when you look at the trade that they did, everyone's going to point at the Jago Mira deal and whether he plays or not. But I'll tell you what they did with Tom Mitchell is I think they'd be quite happy if he walked away now and think that that deal was a real success for Hawthorn.
All right, we've got to get to it now. Let's talk about Richmond.
As everyone
did they? Where did they go for the first half, by the way?
I don't know, but I don't think I've ever seen a first half where an 82-point margin flattered the team that was trailing. They should have been down by 120 points at half time. Josh Bruce had 1 goal, 5 in the first half, 2 from the goal square.
He did.
They made some shocking mistakes at times, St Kilda, with a few of their players. But Richmond, I don't think anyone saw that coming. Look, I think St Kilda's record on a Saturday night would have lent some people to tip St Kilda. I think maybe they could squeak it. And their record's been okay.
At Etihad.
Especially at Etihad on a Saturday night, absolutely. But to see that coming, was it 92-10 at halftime? I think you've just got to put it down to Richmond. It's, you take some learnings out of that first half, but probably just take it as one out of the box. But St Kilda, all credit to them. They were fantastic. It was one of the best performances we've seen from a team in the last few years in a half of footy.
To me, Brett, it all started in the engine room. Seb Bross and Jack Stephen, 66 possessions between them.
I'll throw in Kobe Stephens too on that
one. He went okay too.
I think he had 20 possessions and 2 goals at halftime in a run with roll on Dustin Martin.
Yeah.
About 5 possessions. Like, that was one of the more comprehensive floggings that Dusty's got in a long, long time. And I think when you look at it too, Trent Cotchin reported early for a very undisciplined act, which cost his team a goal when the Saints' tails were up and just gave them further momentum. Alex Rance gave away the 50-metre penalty early on, I think, that Membry got the goal from, when he threw Loney to the ground. So both on Loney. So Loney got under the skin of two of their leaders. And I think that really set the tone from a St Kilda point of view. And maybe the die was cast a little bit from a Richmond point of view when you've got your leaders doing that. And Alex Rance probably had one of his worst halves of footy in a long time. Nick Riewoldt made him look silly at times in that first half last night, and his ability to lead up on him. And Alex got frustrated and gave away free kicks. And it was when you look at the leadership that Richmond showed compared to St Kilda's leaders, there was a real vast difference. Jack Riewoldt was really quiet at the other end, mainly because the ball didn't get down there. But it was an amazing performance from St Kilda and a really poor performance from Richmond. And the fact that they won the second half, I think, means a little bit. It shows they've got some spirit in the group. Like, I reckon Richmond teams or other teams in the past might have really folded, and that would have been a 20-goal loss. But they won the second half. And people will say that was junk time goal, 6-2 in the last quarter. Well, yeah, it might be a little bit, but I think you can learn a little bit about the mentality of a group and how they come back from something like that, because they had every right to roll right over, but they fought back. And in the end, percentage is important this year, guys, and they were able to save some percentage that they lost. It was still a bit of a big chunk that they lost, but it wasn't as much as what it was going to be at half time.
Brett, moving on, another team that needed to win and couldn't do it was Collingwood. They ran into the Bombers, and the Bombers were very, very keen to make sure that their week was going to be much better than Collingwood. So big questions now surrounding Nathan Buckley.
Yeah, look, it's probably not looking that flash for Bucks at the moment, which I think is unfortunate, because I really like him in terms of what he brings to the table. Coaching-wise, look, yeah, there might be some things he might need to improve on. Only the people inside the coach's box on a weekend could really tell you that. It's pretty easy to sit on the couch and make all these assessments as to what he should and shouldn't do. But they were pretty poor yesterday. And I think the loss of Jeremy Howe before the game really hurt them, I think, especially when you look at the marking power that Essendon have got in attack. And whilst it was a few of the talls who did play well, it was also at ground level too. And it was a bit of a bruise-free game of footy yesterday, and the Bombers were far too good in the end. And I think you have a look at David Zaharakis, 38 or 39 possessions. A whole stack of Essendon players had a truckload of the footy. Probably Collingwood's worst performance for the year, and one that, as we said at the start, is going to have the natives fairly restless.
Loved Dyson Heppel's game. Stepped up to the plate, led from the front. James Kelly turning back the clock, and Orazio Fantasia, an excitement machine with 5 goals. Exciting times ahead for the Bombers.
It is, but the challenge for them is now to do that every week.
Consistency,
the last couple of weeks having conceded leads late. So they've played some decent footy, and it's just, for whatever reason, they've fallen away very late in games. Well, obviously, it didn't happen yesterday. So their form has been okay if you take out sort of the last 10 or 15 minutes of games. But it was a hard one to tip yesterday in terms of you just didn't know what you were going to get from either side. But the Bombers were really good. And what Collingwood now lurch further into, I think they're nearly in the bottom four now, aren't they, the Pies, when you look at that compressed ladder. So
yeah, they're 15th currently, Brett.
Yeah, it's not looking flash for them at the moment. I think, obviously, finals are now out of the equation for Collingwood, which is disappointing because I think a month ago was leading up to that Queen's Birthday game against Melbourne. We all had pretty high hopes of where potentially Collingwood could get to. So it's fallen away since then.
Stavros Aboulialis, the guy who runs the Stavros Tavern, it's about to close at Albert Park after about 37 years. He's a huge Collingwood man. I reckon now that he's giving the restaurant game away, he might think about stepping up and being a coach at Collingwood, or contender at least. What do you, okay. By being too harsh.
How many hands do you think are being put up at the moment, BA, as far as...
It's a difficult one, Dan. It's when you look at Collingwood, and I think I'm of the theory or of the mindset of many others, that when you look at if they are to make a change, so let's just say they are to make a change, that it's not in Collingwood's nature to go and hire a Luke Beveridge or a Brendan Bolton or one of those first-time coaches and take a punt then. It's more the Collingwood's history says that they'll go with the high-profile coach, so like your Paul Roos type, or try and get
Alistair Clarkson.
Clarkson, or I don't know, or Ross Lyon, or someone like that. But I think the most, and I think that's where the problem is for Collingwood, is I think they need to go down the path of backing in the coaching system and getting a Brendan Bolton in and saying, okay, no, this is our man. No, you know what, it might not be sexy, it might not be what the supporters want in terms of, oh, we always want this high-profile name.
Brett.
I think at times it's changed. Collingwood, it's got to change, and something's got to change there. And if they are to make the move, well, that would be my suggestion, rather than going down that let's go headhunt and poach someone.
Let me just cut you off there for a moment. Jeff Kennett spoke recently on Fox Footy, and he said no one should be around a club, whether they're an official or whether they're a coach. And he was talking about when you thought was the right length of time to be anywhere. And he said about 7 to 9 years.
Yeah.
Clarko's the longest running coach at the moment in most of those clubs. And he's well past 9 years. How long has he been there?
Clarko's 2004.
2004 he stepped in.
Yeah.
So is he ready to go then?
I wouldn't have thought so at the moment. But well, there's always a possibility, I guess, in terms of what happens with a coach's tenure. I don't think I saw Ross Lyon walking out and going to Fremantle, did they, in that situation when he was at St Kilda? But just from my point of view, and I think a lot of people close to Collingwood feel the same thing, that it's time that they maybe, if they are to make a change on the coach, that it's about bringing in someone who's got the credentials in terms of the right person at the time for the job, rather than just putting the name alongside and thinking, okay, well, this will work, because it sort of hasn't worked quite a few times, not only for Collingwood, but other clubs as well.
Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about Sydney, we'll talk about Geelong, and we'll talk about what's happening later this afternoon with Carlton take on the Demons.
On 11.16 SEN, the ultimate rap with Tony Shebeki.
Oh, that's the second person that can't get it right. Troy Zantac said this morning, morning, Shebekster. Oh, no, it's Danukian. Oh, my God. Good morning. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. This is the ultimate wrap on SEN.
Thanks, Shebek.
And it's George Danukian in the chair. Surprise, surprise. But we do have the master himself, the SEN insider.
The Oracle.
Brett Anderson. Yeah, exactly right. Who's been guiding us through a preview. I mean, not a post setup of what's happened of the...
A synopsis of
round 15. He's done a fabulous job. Yeah. Now we've got to find out how Sydney have made it five wins on the trot after a horror start to what could well be a truly remarkable season. Brett?
They just blew them away, George, in the second quarter. It was a pretty even first quarter. Tom Lynch had the three goals. Buddy had two. Gary Rowan had two. But after quarter time, it was all one-way traffic for the Swans. And they did it without Josh Kennedy, who was a late withdrawal as well. So that was fairly impressive from their point of view, but five goals, career high to Gary Rowan. He was electric in the
fourth. It's good to see him back.
Absolutely. He's playing some good footy in recent weeks now, Gary Rowan, so he's adding a different dynamic to that fourth half. But look, they were just really good throughout the whole day. And look, Gold Coast probably a little bit disappointing after quarter time because, as I said, they were right in the game early on, and then they just really fell away, which was disappointing. But David Swallow was quite good overall for Gold Coast. Look, obviously, no Gary Ablett hurts them, and Stephen May probably tried really hard in his role on Buddy Franklin. He kept him to three goals, four, but wasn't quite the performance that Gold Coast were looking for in the end.
Let's talk about Geelong. They were pretty good too.
They were.
Impressive stuff.
I think a 10-goal second quarter, George, that blew the Lions away, because the Lions are pretty good early, and in some ways, maybe the Lions had the best player in the ground in Dane Zorko. 36 possessions, 10 clearances, 4 goals. Pretty handy day, I would have thought, running through midfield against a very, very good opposition. But the Cats flexed their muscles a bit last night, and Tom Lonigan's 200th, and I think it was Mitch Duncan's 150th as well. So looked after a few of their great players in their milestone games. But Tom Hawkins kicked 3 or 4 again last night, and he gave off quite a few as well. He was really unselfish with some of his ball use inside forward 50. But just that midfield was the thing that Brisbane, very young side, they're going to be a good team, I think, in years to come, Brisbane. But last night they ran into a side that was just bigger, stronger and better than them.
Great post-mortem there. Let's talk preview. SEN this afternoon at Etihad. It's North Melbourne and the Dockers. What's going on?
Yeah, so it'll be a boundary side for that one. It's probably not the most exciting matchup of the weekend, but I think the Roos...
Don't talk it down.
I'm just telling you the truth. We want the truth on the show. We were looking at games on the surface, but I think the Roos are right in the mix here. I think they might even be favourites in the moment, so they're a good opportunity to get another win on the board this afternoon. Fremantle's form's been up and down last week. Obviously, the loss to St Kilda, the fade-out against Geelong the week before. But they'll be really desperate to come over here and put in a good show. I think the keeper, North Melbourne, is keeping track of Michael Walters. His form recently has been outstanding. One of the better players in the competition over the last month, where it's through midfield and kicking goals. So they're going to have to put a lot of time and effort into him. But I'm really looking forward to seeing North, actually, today, because I haven't seen them live pretty much all year. So ideally, a few of their kids they're giving an opportunity to. Now, Dan Nilsson comes in for his debut. I think Cam Zerha is as well. So really exciting from that point of view for North Melbourne supporters.
And the Blues take on the D's at the MCG today at 20 past three. It's the D's 8th, the Blues 16th. The D's win, they can jump a few spots on the ladder. Big game for the D's.
As a Melbourne supporter, I think back to 2000 and I think it was 2005, Carlton finished on the bottom and they beat Melbourne twice. Cost them a top four spot or a top two spot. I think last year Melbourne were making some sort of a charge towards the finals until they ran into Carlton. So the Blues have got a very good record at playing spoilers in recent times over the Demons when the Demons have had a decent side. And with those injuries, the midfield battle is going to be crucial because Carlton certainly has the better midfield on paper today. It's just how much Melbourne can scrap and fight to stay in the game in that way and then give their forwards, which is where they do have the strength advantage, an opportunity to kick a winning score. I can't see it being a high-scoring game today, guys. I think maybe 12 goals might be the winning total.
SEN's other game this evening is the match being played at Domain Stadium. It's West Coast versus Port Adelaide. And Port Adelaide, if they're going to do something serious, they've got to beat a side that's in the top eight, eh?
Yeah, I don't think the Eagles are in the top eight, though, at the moment, George. That's the only thing. I think they might have slid out checking the
You know how to change the storyline real quick, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah, currently sitting ninth. But
missed it by that much.
It's not going to help them too much this afternoon if they do win, because people will still say, well, they still haven't been in the top eight. But they, when they played West Coast at Adelaide Oval, they absolutely battered West Coast. For most of the night, they had double inside 50s, but they bombed the ball in and they sat it on their heads inside forward 50, which is what West Coast want with their intercept marking down back. So I think you'll see a different way that Port play against West Coast over there today. They've brought in Joe Attlee for his debut. He'll give them some run through midfield. I think Port will win the game over there, especially with no Josh Kennedy still. I'm just still concerned about how West Coast can kick a winning score. I know Jack Darling played well last week and Drew Petrie's played a bit of a role for them. But I just think Port Adelaide, this is one that they can really steel themselves to go over and grab.
And just quickly, Brett, David Roden, a former Tiger and power player, to make his debut between the big sticks as goal umpire today at Etihad Stadium, where North take on Freo. So keep an eye out for the moonwalk because we know he's got some slick dance moves.
Well, there you go, because I actually didn't know that he had made his debut already, because we saw him in the JLT series and I think maybe even the NAB Cup in recent years doing some work between the sticks, and actually hadn't even picked up the fact that he hadn't made his AFL debut yet. So good luck to David Roden. Former Demon as well, Zanners.
Yes.
No favourites.
Former Demon.
No favourites is an official. Thank you very much.
Good on you, Brett.
Thank you, Brett. 9:37. This is the ultimate wrap on SEN. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, it's that man, Brett Phillips, talking all things Wimbledon.